thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good to be here with you guys this morning. And Pastor Dan, he told me that I would get brownie points if I wore one of these CIU masks, so I'm counting on it. But it's so great to see you guys today. Hey, I have my new book here, and it's called Victorious On and Beyond the Mat. And after the chapel service today, I'm going to be giving away 20 copies of these to the first 20 students. You could come up and meet me, and I'll sign it for you. And I'd love to get to know you afterwards. But if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 28. And this first passage is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19, or through 20, I'm sorry. It says this: "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Now we're going to jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will start at verse 9. It says this: "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, to give you a little bit of a background on these two verses that I picked out, the first one in Matthew 28, Jesus has just risen from the dead, and he has gathered his disciples together, and he's getting ready to leave. And basically what he was saying, he was saying, "Okay, guys, I'm getting ready to go to heaven, and I'm passing the torch to you. I trained you guys for 3.5 years, and now I'm passing the torch. You go out and spread the gospel." In our second passage, we see the Apostle Paul, who was deep in ministry at this point, but he had a thorn in his flesh that he prayed to God 3 times to take away. And God said no each time. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And so I think that we all need to have a testimony of where God has brought us from. And I think these two passages of Scripture will really drive home the message that I'm trying to communicate to you today. So my journey starts back in November 26th of 1997 in Columbus, Ohio. And I was born 4 months premature. And so that's me. And my doctors did not give me a very good prognosis of living. They told my parents that even if I did survive, that I would never be able to walk, I would never be able to talk, I would be in a wheelchair full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just sit there. And on top of that, you know, I had a brain bleed, I had my lungs had collapsed a few times, I had a hole in my heart, and I went septic, and none of my internal organs were developed, and it just wasn't a very good prognosis. And so my parents didn't like that idea, but, you know, obviously it didn't turn out that way, because here I am. And so I get home from the hospital after spending about 3 months in the NICU. And by the time I was 2 years old, I started using a walker to get around. So there I am at 2 years old. That's me during physical therapy. I'm pretty focused trying to kick the ball. But that's me at 2 years old. So I was on a walker, and I was getting what are called Botox injections. Now, you've probably heard of Botox injections. That normally, they're used as an anti-aging component to make you look a few years younger. But in my case, they were used to try to reduce the spasticity that's caused by CP. Because what CP is it's basically a miscommunication between the brain and the muscles. So in cerebral palsy, in my case, the cerebral palsy affects mostly my legs. And so my legs are pretty tight all the time, and it's hard to move. And so this was a method to try to get them to relax. But what they did is they took a needle that was about yay big, and I'm not joking either, it was huge. And what they did is they stuck the needle in the muscle itself, and then they dug it around to try to find the right spot, and then they would inject it. So that was incredibly painful. But it helped for a time, and I was continuing to go through physical therapy and things like that. And eventually, I was able to graduate to forearm crutches. And there I am on the walker again. Now, the forearm crutches, I hated those because around this time, I was going to elementary school. And my elementary school was built back in 1916. So it was built back before World War I. And so it's not very handicap accessible. So I had a lot of trouble going up and down stairs and things like that. But my school was so accommodating and nice. But I got through it. And there came a time when the physical therapy and the Botox injections weren't helping and the spasticity was getting worse. And so I had what's called a tendon release surgery, where they go in and they stretched out my hamstring to try to loosen it up a little bit. And I'm telling you what, that was the most painful thing that I have ever experienced to this day. I have never felt anything like that before. But, you know, after a few months in a cast and about 6 months of rehab, I was able to walk on my own independently for the first time. It took me 6 years to be able to walk independently, and my doctor said that I would be bound to a wheelchair. And so I grew up, and I'm making tons of friends. And you know what? I am so blessed because I was never bullied. I never had any sort of problem with that. And on the couple occasions that I did, it was taken care of very quickly. And so by junior high, you know, I want to convince my mom to let me wrestle because I was a huge professional wrestling fan. And that was as close as I was going to get to the stuff that I saw on TV at the time. And so I was all about it. And so I go out and I try I go out and I try out and I love it. It's tons of fun. And I go out for my first match. And so I'm nervous, obviously. And I step out on the mat and here comes this kid. Like, he's all big and he's all broad-shouldered and things like that. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not going to be good. So I get on the line, and we get on the line, and the ref blows the whistle, and the match starts. And I blinked, and the match was over. The match lasted about 5 seconds, no joke. And I'm laying on my back, staring up at the lights, thinking, what the heck have I gotten myself into? So I go back to the bleacher area, and all my teammates were cheering for me, saying, yeah. And I'm thinking, sheesh, guys, I just got my butt kicked. You don't have to butter me up so much. But I continued on with it, and I lost all of my matches that year. So I lost 35 matches in a row. And so I thought, okay, I'll give it one more shot. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll try something else, maybe football or something. So I make sure I work really hard. And my eighth grade year, I lose all of my matches my eighth grade year too. That's 29. So we're up in the 70s at this point on the number of matches that I've lost. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it one more shot. And if it still doesn't work out, then I will try something else. Well, my freshman year comes around, and I'm getting all ready and getting pumped up. And I am ready. And I lose the first four matches of my freshman year's season. And at that point, I was ready to quit because I'm working just as hard, if not harder, than anybody else in the gym, and I've got nothing to show for it. And so I made the decision that if nothing happened in this next match, if I didn't at least get close, then I was just gonna quit. And so I'm getting ready for the next round, and my dad walks over, and he's got a smile on his face. And I thought that was weird. And he said, hey, you have to wrestle a girl the next round. And I'm like, oh, boy. So this is either going to turn out really good or really bad. Because if I lose, I will never hear the end of it from my teammates. You know, getting beat. And so I go out for that final match of the day. And I ended up winning that match 8-5 in the third period on December 12th, 2012. Yeah, I memorized the date. So, but that was the single greatest feeling that I've ever felt at that time. And that gave me the courage to go on. And so I lose the rest of my matches that year. And I lose the rest of my matches my sophomore year. But my sophomore year is probably the most significant year in my life because that's the year that I gave my life to Jesus. And so it's kind of funny. I never grew up in church. My parents aren't Christians. But I had a foundational belief in God, but I never took that step to make a commitment to him and serve him. So one night, I'm laying in my bed, scrolling through YouTube, and I come across this video, and it's got a very interesting title. It says, I know the day of the rapture. And so I thought, okay, I believed in God, so I kind of had an understanding of what the rapture was. So I clicked on it. And the guy said, you need to repent if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because the rapture is going to happen on October of 2013. I looked at my calendar. Guess what month and year it was? It was October of 2013, and I thought, oh no, I better get right with God because the rapture's about to happen. And so, that is literally how I got saved. I got saved in my bed through a false prophecy of the rapture. True story, honestly. So I got saved, and I had been going to church. A buddy of mine was picking me up, and we were going to a church out in Circleville. That it wasn't Crossroads at the time, but it was a different church. But then he suddenly stopped going, and he was my ride, so I stopped going, and I kind of started to fall off the tracks a little bit. And so fast forward to my junior year, I didn't win any matches either that year either, but I had the opportunity to share my story with a local news channel in Ohio, and it blew up more than I ever thought possible. A week or a few days after the interview, the sectional tournament for wrestling was going on. You had three divisions. You had sectionals, and then if you did well enough in sectionals, you could go to districts. And then if you did well enough in districts, you could go to state. Well, this was the sectional tournament, and I'm sitting there getting ready, and my mom comes up to me and says, you know, ESPN called your school, and they want to do a documentary on you. So I thought, wow, that's cool. And she said, no, you know, there's a little more. I said, okay. You know, Ellen DeGeneres called your school also. So I thought, wow. And at the time, I was like, let's go for it, man. I was all excited. And both of those opportunities fell through. And so we're at my senior year now. And I was like, okay, I've got to win a match. It's my senior year. I've got to go out on a high note. And that didn't happen. I lost all my matches my senior year too. But I realized something, that sharing your story and inspiring those around you is much more effective, and it's much more fulfilling than any one match that you could win. And so I end up graduating high school, and I wanted to be a physical therapist because I wanted to help kids that were in the same situation that I was in, because I know what it's like to go through all that. And so, but in PT school, my grades tanked. No matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't keep them up, and I ended up flunking out. And I was like, man, what do I do? And so backing up a little bit, I started attending Crossroads Church in 2014, 2015. And I had attended a revival that was preached by Stan Toler. I don't know if any of you guys know who he is, but he was an amazing preacher. And I don't even remember what he was preaching on that night, but I do remember God saying, I either have to have all of you or nothing at all. Make the choice. And so I went to the altar and rededicated my life to Christ and surrendered everything to Him. And I haven't been the same since. And so in college, you know, it was kind of a rude awakening for me, because, you know, physical therapy, that was going to be my livelihood. And of course, I'd be involved in ministry some at church too, but that was going to be, you know, what I was going to do for a living. And I go to get on the elevator at the school that I was going to, and God spoke very clearly and said, I want you to preach the gospel. Okay, so I talked to Dan. And he recommended that we check out God's Bible School and College in Cincinnati. I ended up loving it and enrolled there. But while all this is happening, God is beginning to lay it on my heart to start a ministry called God's Abled. And while this is happening too, I got baptized. And that's the picture with my pastor at the time, Pastor Tim. And then so I start this ministry called God's Abled, and our mission is to help individuals with special needs
reach their God-given potential. And the way that we do that locally is that we have what are called activity nights. And these activity nights are centered around improving somebody's fine motor and social skills, because those are the skills that people with disabilities struggle with the most. And we also give a Bible devotion, as well as an opportunity for parents and caregivers to drop their kid or client off so they could have a break. And so, Dan and I, we went all out for this first launch. We prepared for 100 people. Guess how many people showed up? One. One person showed up. So we treated her as if she was 1,000 people. So come to find out, she had been really hurt by the church. She's on the autism spectrum, and sometimes when she gets nervous, she'll make some noises. And unfortunately, the church that she was at said that if you can't get your behavior in order, you're not welcome here. Ouch. I'd hate to stand before God and have to account for that. But so she was telling me about all this, and eventually she did give her life to Christ. And she got involved in church. And even better than that, she got her family in church, who hadn't been in church for 25 years because they were afraid of the church judging their daughter. So we go along and we continue these activity nights, slow and steady. And this is a picture of one of our attendees. She has spina bifida, but she plays ice hockey. She's phenomenal. And then, you know, we had a talent show, you know, before COVID, and we packed the place out, and it was just awesome. Yeah, and then we also helped out with some local community fundraising events. This particular one was to help families that are affected by traumatic brain injuries. This helped them to purchase different medical equipment and different things that they would need. And it's a wide variety. We not only, you know, it's not only to children and to younger folks. We do adults of all different ages. This is a picture of a morning adult outreach that we do on Friday mornings. And then, so we also do some national outreach with people. In 2018, I had the opportunity to work with a guy by the name of David Ring. David has cerebral palsy also, and he is a rock star. So it was great to work with him. He helped us with our fundraising banquet. And then, you know, over the past couple years, we have formed a partnership with Johnny and Friends. The person who runs the organization, her name is Johnny Erickson Tata, and she has done some promo work for us. This was a picture with the current serving president, John Nugent, and we had launched a conference together to help churches and church leaders in disability ministry, because it could be really nerve-wracking, a nerve-wracking task to take on with so many diverse needs. And so we also do global outreach. So back in August of 2018, we sent a team down to Honduras to help out a family of a little girl with cerebral palsy. Now, in third world countries, people with disabilities are often looked at as sometimes demonic. Sometimes they're literally locked in their house or locked in a cage and not allowed to go outside. But we had the opportunity to build this porch for this family who has a little girl with cerebral palsy. And so now she gets to go outside and be with her family. But while she can't walk, she can't talk or do anything like that, she can understand sign language. So that picture back there, we had one of our art students paint it. It's a picture of Jesus with a heart and the words te amo underneath of it. And te amo means I love you in Spanish. Now, this little girl, she can't walk or talk, but she understands sign language. So every time that she gets to go outside, she's going to look at that picture and she's going to know that Jesus loves her. That's pretty awesome. So, and then of course, you know, COVID has slowed things down a bit, but we're adapting and planning and all these things. So what are we doing right now? Well, this was the only picture that I could find of the whole layout. So I am from Circleville, Ohio, and it's a very small town of about 15,000, and there's not a whole lot to do. So I had the idea of building an all-inclusive, handicap-accessible playground. So what this will mean is that children with and without disabilities will be able to play together. And we're going to develop it into some senior adult stuff and service dogs and things like that. But God is really moving in our community, and we're continuing to build relationships with leaders. And so why did I just share all of that with you? Well, you know, in life, it's going to be tough. It's not easy. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. I got to be honest with you. Cerebral palsy is not easy. It's very painful. I'll tell you something that's going on right now. So the spasticity in the CP, it gets worse as you get older. And so what's happening right now is that my hip flexors and my hamstrings are getting so tight to the point where they're actually pulling my hip sockets out of joint. And then I had an MRI on my spine the other day, and they were like, oh, you've got a few herniated discs in your back. Well, that explains a lot. But honestly, you know, you're going to have pain. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have things that are unpleasant. I'm just going to be blunt with you. You're going to have to deal with it, because God never promised that this life would be easy. You know, I have no doubt that God has been with me ever since the beginning. God healed me to the point where He wanted to. But I had to work really, really hard to get where I am today by God's grace. God has enabled me and allowed me to do this. But cerebral palsy is honestly the greatest blessing that I've ever had in my life. It's not a burden, because I have the wonderful opportunity of being in front of crowds like you guys. You guys are awesome. And I get to share my story with families from all over the country. And I'll just share with you this one opportunity that I had in Cincinnati a few months ago. This little guy has CP, about like I do, and he's going through it. And, you know, if I did not have cerebral palsy, this stuff like this, opportunities like this, would not happen. So I encourage you to take this, your weaknesses, take your things that are inconvenient, and use them for God's glory. One last scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, says, it talks about running the race with endurance. And guys, it's very likely that we are the last generation before Jesus comes back. And I know that there's a lot of things that you guys are struggling with, but don't give up. We have to keep going, because Jesus is coming back. And if we're not going to tell the world about Jesus, who is? Because we're probably it. All the signs are joining together in a rate that's unbelievable. And so I want to encourage you today, and I want to challenge you. Because, you know, I have cerebral palsy, but what's your excuse? All right? If God can enable me and help me to serve in His kingdom, then He can help you and enable you to serve in His kingdom as well.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.